Okay, you kind of know the drill. This is the first reading when we go through and kind of highlight anything that might be new, noteworthy, or require special explanation. So we'll start. Oh, yeah, and I hate to trouble you to do this, but if you don't mind going to the podium, because we do have people watching online, and that's how they can hear what you're saying. So we have first in our budget book the regular county general sheriff's budget. Start with that one. Anything that you want to bring to our attention directly, or just open it for questions, or?
I think open it up for questions. There's a couple things that I have a question about, but we'll get to that when we get to those lines.
One thing I noted that I think is on our side, Britt and Janet, was it looked like the sheriff special duties line item got. Or the SRO for Clinton Central inadvertently got put in the sheriff special duties line item.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I noticed that.
Yeah, we need to correct that. I guess the first thing, let's talk about the new, we talked about it, last month or 2 months ago with the JCAT position, and you guys were able to cover that for the remainder of 25, and we talked about putting it in for 2026, and we've got it in here. I guess, refresh my memory, I should remember this by now, but what the JCAT position is.
The Jail Chemical Addiction Program Coordinator.
Okay.
The position was created through the Indiana Department of Correction grant that is no longer funding that type of work across the state. They did away with jail treatment across the state. So every jail treatment program lost all of their funding dollars, which is how we fund him. He's the one that operates the JCAP program. That's a 12 to 16 week recovery program and does case management work throughout the jail for inmates not in the program.
I would like to say that I believe we need to find money to fund that position. I think it's a good position, and also wanted to comment that your budget, as requested to us, it looks in good shape. That position, I think, would be worth us looking for the money for that.
I would throw out one area where we could make up part of that, and I want to ask whether you did it intentionally or whether it was just the first number on the page. But on the sheriff's pension fund, typically we put the recommended amount, and the amount that was included in the budget for this year was the accelerated amount. So the higher level contributions, was that intentional?
I always try to put the largest amount in and let you weasel it down.
I do think we need to probably take that.
Because it does not all come from County General. It is broken up. It comes from multiple sources.
That's correct.
As it has in the past. So I put the full amount in there, and I leave it to the auditor on how she wants to divvy that out.
Okay. So I think we have $50,000 for that pension fund in the federal inmate, and then Ashley, correct me if I'm wrong, is it like service of warrants fund, or there's another fund that we can use for that, if I remember right?
I think, is it the
sheriff sales. Tax warrants?
Tax warrants,
okay.
So we're,
and let me go back. I won't try to find that. I have it in my folder, but I'm going to have to dig through the pages on what that mid-level, here it is. So each year for the pension fund, we get from the pension financial advisor, we get three numbers: the minimum to keep it actuarially sound, the recommended, and then the accelerated, which is to kind of just to beef up the strength of the fund. So the recommended county contribution is $562,996. So if we allow for the fact that $50,000 of that is budgeted in the federal inmate program, mm-hmm. You know, in theory we could take that the $624,000 number down more than the $72,000 number for the JCAP.
And that would be the same budget?
In the same budget.
Okay.
And the salary I don't know what it's showing on yours. I put in two numbers requested for that position based on a 2.5% increase, which after watching yesterday's budget hearings, I have some questions on 2.5% increases. But the first number was the 2.5% increase based on what he was currently being paid. However, the salary survey included his position. So the second number is taking him at 2.5% from the salary survey number because he was on a grant cycle. Therefore, we could not increase his salary being paid from a grant once the salary survey was completed. So all
in. Are you talking about the $62,000 number?
$62,788
right.
Should be where he would
that's
be.
That's the one you'd like.
With the salary survey, yes, ma'am.
As requested, okay.
So did you say put 563 where the budget was?
And then we'd also have the benefits for him.
Yeah, if we
to
take,
cover,
if we
right?
Say 50,000 coming up.
Yes, right. I don't see where
you
that
don't worry
comes.
About that, but I mean, yeah. I'm in my mind, yeah, I just need to add, okay. Need to add yes. That in, so we all realize that we're going to have
that's right because of that money.
Taxes
that's
and right. Comp and all that kind of stuff.
Alan,
yeah, there's 55
in there. Alan,
yes.
Would this
yeah.
Be the time to address the email that I received from the transport officer?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead and bring that. Well, no, because that's transport officers in jail budget, correct?
It's in, I think yes. They're in 1233 or 1170.
Let's
okay.
Hang
okay.
On there.
But
that,
feel free to discuss. Sorry about that.
No, that's in a different budget. Let's maybe try to hammer this thing out here real quick first.
Okay, sure. Sorry
so,
about that.
So, given some of our other challenge, I'd like to stay at that recommended level rather than moving to the accelerated level. I mean, recommended is still beyond the minimum. We're keeping it actuarially sound. Mm-hmm. That number at the 562,996, and we have 50,000 of that accounted for out of federal inmates. So in my mind, we could take this number in this budget to 513,000 if we round up.
We did just do a pension update at the last mayor board meeting. It's operating above actuarial assumption.
Good.
For usual, it's grown to $7.2 million.
So the 624 number is going down to 513 something?
Yeah. Yes. Well, 513 even would be the rounded up.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So you're saying then you got 111 to go towards that other position.
That would cover that JCAP.
That would cover the position, including everything.
Okay.
Yeah, and we actually have a little bit of a net reduction there in mm-hmm. That. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I didn't really have anything else highlighted in my review of this budget. It was.
You're doing 50 out of 4968 and the 513 out of 005.
Correct. Anybody else have anything on the Sheriff's Department budget?
Do we still have the DARE officer?
No, we do not.
That does show $1,000 for DARE officer. Does that need to be in there then?
Not necessarily. I mean, the DARE program is... I don't know that it's been used in a lot of years.
Yeah, it shows zero usage, so we might as well zero that out.
So zero on DARE?
Yes. Everybody speak up if they've got anything. If not, I'm going to move to the next one. Okay.
I've got one question.
Okay, yes, sir.
On the matron position. We've added a job description and duties. Mm-hmm. What is that waiting on to find out where we're asking
for the wages?
Or
the wages.
The case is, yes, the wages on that with our new addition to the job title.
That's in here.
I'm not. Where is that?
Did you
oh,
did you
is.
Put anything? You didn't put anything. In the-
no, my job description changed yesterday.
Yeah, it changed yesterday. So,
so
I mean, I get it.
We're no.
Kind of world behind the eight ball on this, but I do think it has to be addressed with a change in the job description.
We added the we added the things from the statute.
Well, that was already in there.
Not we did. The commissioners, the job description, we added the what was in the statute plus the commissary, right?
Well, the statute was always in place by the statute.
Right.
But, so we added commissary.
We added commissary. And that's your question?
Yes.
I've added that one to my list.
Yeah, we need to add that to our list. We hadn't thought about it, actually.
Okay.
Throw out your thoughts.
We'll hear soon.
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
We've got...
You do have some thoughts to share.
Of what?
Some thoughts. Nice thoughts. do you have some thoughts to share on that?
I will let the person that... my thoughts are pretty... straightforward. It's separated by statute, and you know, as far as a contractor, and you know, and that, we'll get to that in due time. But as far as the job description and adding it to that position, if that's the job description and we're okay with it, and everything works out, and the compensation's reasonable, and you know, this and that, then. We'll leave it at that. So I think that it is a responsibility that is obviously beneficial to the sheriff's office. It pays for an untold amount of things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, obviously legal to inmate support, jail support, refrigerators, freezers, everything that has ever crossed paths in that facility has been typically and can be purchased through that commissary fund that over the last 7 years has grown exponentially. And I think, you know, I hate to say who the oldest is sitting in here, but I think, you know, Sheriff down there on the end is maybe the most tenured person with this county government right here. But it is something that is obvious that it is a producing and something that is needed to maintain a lot of different things from computers for, you know, and equipment for our detectives and different software. And software is like buying a house now. It's expensive. It's extremely expensive. Drones, different things for different programs inside the facility. And it's not something that stops at 5 o'clock. Emails from vendor, from inmates, addressing. I mean, it's a job that takes more than I think anybody can fathom unless you come down and visit and do the job and see how many emails after hours, during hours, the fixing different things, the questions and you know, just the maintaining of the entire operation. So it's something we've got a lot of grief over it, but we've never had anybody say, all right, let's sit down and talk about it from start to finish and where does this go, how's this come in, what goes out, what is bought, what is, you know, provided, how is it packed, how is it shipped, how is this, what does it supply, and how does it provide for the sheriff's office? You know, every once in a while we have a request and we ask for to use commissary fund for different things, from mechanical inside the facility to you know, different items that we have to ask for outside of the statute. It's something that is behavior control to a certain extent, probably extremely. There are different ways to do the program, obviously. There's no one set way by anybody's standard on how to operate and how to purchase and how to put things out there. It can be brought all the way back down to a fund that doesn't, or a program that doesn't create much. You know, if we went to just a vendor and they ship it in from outside and it's not handled inside for the most part, and we dumb it down to the point where there's very minimal product, we're required very minimal things if we get rid of commissary. And that minimal thing is hygiene products and, you know, your toothpaste, your toothbrushes, and that can be provided. Nothing has to be sold. So, you know, it is an important part of our sheriff's office. It always has been. And I don't want to take away from previous, but it is absolutely, it shows that it is a productive and, you know, program that is successful. With that, the person that operates it should be compensated accordingly. We don't tell other vendors what they make. We don't tell other vendors that you charge too much. You know, and it's a difficult conversation. It really really is, especially over the last several years. So it's one of those things where I think it is important because it does provide a huge amount of things that take away from having to use and quote-unquote tax dollars from county general. It does assist. It does make a difference. So, you know, I'd like to keep the status quo on it. I'd like to keep moving forward. I have a person, the matron, as an outside contractor, has worked and completed the work for the last, yes, it's going on 4 years with zero compensation, but the program has not faltered. And I think that goes to show that the most important thing is our inmates and is our the fund that helps our deputies, our jail staff, corrections, training, all the work that goes into it gets paid for it out of there. And I think Sheriff Hensley and our old chief deputy here, Joe Mink, understands that. So
maybe for Mary, because you're new, or maybe it'd be helpful if former Sheriff Hensley understood why he started the 50-50 profit split in commissary, because the program started under his administration. I inherited a program.
So here is a question that I have, is because the way I'm understanding it, like the revenues have gone up, which would, if it were still the 50-50, would be a huge increase for the matron.
For the commissary manager.
Sorry, okay.
Yes.
I apologize. Have the duties increased? Would you say have the duties increased to the same degree that the income would have increased?
So a good example is when I trained with Nancy Ward, who was my predecessor, she operated a one order a week commissary. I came in, I laid all the vendor booklets, I rebuilt the menu, updated pricing. That took us to a four order a week. There was two e-cig orders. There's an on-site order, the bulk order that Nancy did as well. And we have a warehouse order. I oversee all of them. I physically pass two of them and I bag the third one. But I respond to all emails and all issues regarding that.
And I think comparing what in 2015, 2016, 2017, or 2002 or four or three, you know, monetarily wise, we saw an exponential increase in cost of everything, exponential increase in product, and also with material just in common in our economy. So I don't know that, it's hard to say that the money's comparable to what it was in 2018, but the comparable thing is this, is that there's an extreme amount of effort in lieu of what happened, what was prior. So, you know, more orders, the responsibility to track different things, the implementation of different programs that, you know, and it's just like on the e-cigarettes. These are adults that only adults purchase it, not 18-year-olds, not 19-year-olds, not 20-year-olds. You have to be 21 to purchase. That has to be maintained and tracked. We track each and every product that goes out by serial number for them to receive back. They have to have that same serial number item. So it is tracked by scanning it, putting it into a system, and watching it so that if it comes back tampered, you don't get one. You don't ever get one. You could be blocked from it. So, and we talk about behavioral responses. If you're told you can't buy another one, if you tamper with it, or if you take somebody else's, or if the numbers get mixed up, it really, these people become very responsible. Because they like the product, they want the product, and they're going to take care of it, but they're not going to abuse it. But on the flip side of that, on that order, it has to be tracked. So we're, I don't know how many people purchase it in there, but every one of them individually handled, individually tagged, tracked, and issued out, and it's issued back to for them to even think about purchasing another. So there's a lot more to it than I think it was in the past.
Okay, thank you.
Good question. Okay.
It's really well. Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure that we're having a conversation.
Fair question. Fair question. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, let's move on and look at the.
I will give you a heads up. Our repair vehicle line had already zeroed out for the year. We transferred money from 0081 into 0059. I look for us to have to do another transfer. I increased it slightly. Captain Myers can probably comment on some of the repairs that we're seeing that are not covered by warranty on these Tahoes.
Yeah, there's been several lost repairs, windshield washer pumps, a lot of the same stuff throughout the fleet. It's pretty costly.
Okay. Hmm. Okay. Appreciate that heads up. So that moves us to the jail budget in the general fund. Looks to be very minimal changes other than the salary adjustment.
Have you given any further guidance on the salary adjustments?
We have not.
The email we all received was the 2.5, but it sounds like yesterday there were some higher numbers.
There was.
Yeah. And we would like to request 6.5 for the record.
There was really no recommendation. There was no recommendation from council. We did put in our email the cost of living just to help.
I understand that. That's what I was under the impression we were all going by. It was the 2.5%.
That's what we expected too, but we're seeing different.
I understand that.
I have a question about the records clerk 0037. Is that the one that's empty right now?
She has not yet left, but she is in her final 2-week period.
Okay. Okay. And then below that you have a part-time. Is that right?
Yes. We attempted to hire for the part-time, but we couldn't get anybody that was able to pass the background.
So the part-time is empty?
Currently empty, yes.
And you're expecting the other one to be empty in 2 weeks?
Yep.
Okay. So my question about that is, last year when positions were over the midpoint, we said when they opened up again, we'd move them back to the midpoint. So are we going to be using that same parameter for 2026, or is this a new, I guess I'm just throwing that out.
Which position is above midpoint?
Midpoint for, well, one is part-time on here, and one is must be the one 0037, because midpoint would be 42,411. The midpoint on the previous survey.
Yeah,
it's the previous survey. So we all know
that. I recall
that.
Having
we all know that's a while
conversation ago. When we hired the current gal in that position. What I would offer is this position handles money. It's the check and balance for the State Board of Accounts to my position, and I would not decrease that position if I were looking for a certain kind of someone to fill it.
Okay. I'm just throwing it out there because we're trying to figure out if we're following survey or not following survey.
Yeah. Good question.
So the part-time is the empty one, and the records clerk is going to be empty in 2 weeks. All right, we've got an issue.
That is the one we are on a holding pattern to open up.
Right.
Any other questions on the jail budget?
Oh, that's a good budget.
Let's get to these other ones, and maybe then we could circle back to look at the holistic picture, because we do have personnel across multiple budgets here. All right, lit public safety, budget 1170. We have 8 deputies in here, some sergeants, courthouse security.
This is the one where we were thinking about the transport officers should be bumped up to the jailer.
We had that. I had that request, and so
it's something we've talked about for a while, because historically we worked over a couple of years to bring them up to CO pay because they have equal training requirements, but they came in the salary survey underneath. And so there's been a discretion. I just happened to talk to Alan on the day that they were broken down on the side of the road with federal inmates with flat tire. I said, this is the reason why I would ask for their pay to go up, because they're now on the side of I-70 by themselves in an unknown situation. They're not in the confines of the jail with multiple people. We got the traffic hazard of the roadway. We've got the hazard of having prisoners with them, et cetera. And so we, this is just yet another request to bring transport up to.
And we had already talked about that after.
That is actually in the next budget.
It's the next one? It's not this one?
It's in 1233.
In the jail lit, but.
Oh,
sorry. The only thing I would say on this one is we just have to remember that they work less hours. So we could give them, if you chose to, you could give them the same hourly wage. We just have to adjust it for the hours they work.
I think that's what I did.
Did you? Okay. I haven't looked at the numbers.
I think I, yeah, because,
yeah.
Yes, I did it at the same hourly because
yes.
Their salaries look to be $1,700 less.
Okay.
But their
perfect.
Hourly is the same.
Okay.
Okay. So you, these figures up here, you've already taken that into consideration, bringing the transport officers up to the same thing as the jailer.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I had noticed, I thought, but it might be the hours.
It looks different because the jail staff is at 2080 and they're at 2186.
Okay. Thank you.
So finishing up on the 1170, does anybody have anything else on that one? Okay.
And we are, like courthouse security, we are, I think we have all positions filled now.
Okay, good.
And the two part-time, two full-time. And the question is going to be, and I know we've talked about it in the past, but the courthouse folks will move with the courts when the judges move their operations over to the new annex. This starts to get the refurbation.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's going to take some conversation with the commissioners to find out after that switch comes back. I think we're going to try and keep somebody in here as construction's moving because we're still going to have open offices, I think. I don't think the whole courthouse is shutting down on refurb, is it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everybody's going out.
All moving.
Yeah.
So, but, and then on the flip side of that, when the commissioners move, and I don't, are you guys moving with them?
Yeah.
So when all of you move over there, the idea of the security that's going to take place over there, if there is a need or a want. So that would be a conversation, hopefully maybe 27, I think, maybe?
Yeah, I think.
So. We'll
yeah.
get there.
We touched on that briefly yesterday with the commissioner's
budget.
Yeah.
With the construction woes, I think you can probably count on this being probably a tougher project than what they worked on over there. So,
yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. So for we moved to the Lit Correctional Facility 1233. That was the issue we just discussed with that transport officer. So that is now in at the same hourly rate as what I think I understood.
What I have documented on the final page, the statement of salary and wages.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Oh, I wanted to ask the in the budget, there's the jail HVAC, but does that overlap at all with what we did the additional appropriation for recently? Did we accelerate that, or is that an additional component?
Yep. The final. The final project, because we hadn't done that yet when the budget was due.
Right.
So, the final project should be all of the remaining balance of that money. The 170-some thousand dollars.
That we appropriated in August?
Yeah.
So is this 190 not needed then? Is that what you're saying?
Where are you at?
I am on the last line. We have 1230 jail lit. We had 190,000 in
there.
Yeah,
that would be that's for that project.
That's for that project, so.
So we're done. That's already done.
That we're done for... The electronics of the HVAC.
There will be a portion after that that will, this doesn't include the most of the mechanical, so it'll have, we'll have to look at that in 25 or 26, but it covers all of the electronics, all of that, and then they're going to have to come back in and replace the actuators and the mechanical portion of it. This is the electronic portion of it. This is our computer. This is the high-tech stuff that's in the HVAC today. That's what that covers. It doesn't cover the mechanicals of it. That's the actuators. That's any of the piping, anything that needs replaced. So.
But we haven't gotten that quote yet.
No, we haven't.
Okay.
But this 190 needs to stay in there for 26.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm okay with that. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't.
We can get that done at 190.
We'd be lucky.
We're going to be lucky. But
be lucky.
I'm hoping.
Okay.
Okay.
Does anybody know about that?
That brings us to the federal inmate housing budget. And we have some jailers and some deputies in there. Let's talk about the crime scene investigator position that's not been filled yet. And I understand there's been some issues with who your candidate was and all that. So kind of, can you get us up to speed on where we stand on that one? Or do you know?
I do know. I think the person that interviewed and was offered the job, I think initially got information that he was eligible for the position, but due to his elected position, he's not going to be able to fulfill that. So we can either go with the second person in the interview process, and we were just kind of letting him exhaust his avenues on his part to see if he was going to be eligible for the work. And at this time, I know he's not going to be available to fill that position, so it will be filled by probably the number two person that is a current county employee.